Diary. Consecration needed at the Review and Herald office. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. November 10th, 1902. Not sent. What a burden I am carrying. Representations have been given me of a most painful character. The Lord is not glorified, Elder Prescott, by your longer continuance in the Review and Herald office as it is. There is not the workings of the Spirit of God upon mind and upon character of the men in office. They have strange ideas of what constitutes the purity, justice, and righteousness of truth. If there is not a change, the Lord Jesus will, just as surely as when he was upon the earth, cleanse that office from its defilement. The men in office must not remain there, for they are not under control to God. They are not walking in the light, and they do not sense the difference between handling the sacred and common fire. I am in agony of mind, night after night. These men did not give evidence that they were converted men at the time of the General Conference, nor since that conference. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit worked through the Lord's agencies. If there had been a receiving of the testimonies born, if there had been the deep moving of the Spirit of God at the General Conference at Battle Creek, there would have been such a breaking of the unconsecrated, stubborn hearts that the Spirit of the Lord would have come in. But they would not receive them, neither do they now receive them. There is a stubborn unbelief that keeps them under Satan's control. Their hearts were braced against any movement that the Lord required for them to make to humble themselves. They preserved their own individual, unconsecrated elements of character, and the testimonies from God that were born at that meeting made no effect sufficient to change their course of action for the better. They have not only simply ignored, but worked directly against them, and the sentiment prevails to not heed the warnings given of God. There is no use for me to speak, for they do not believe the testimonies. The hearts of the leading men are not right with God. Elder Daniels and Brother Palmer are walking like blind men. They have been having strong feelings in a wrong direction. They were not moved by the Holy Spirit. They do not understand the condition of the men in the office. If they understood the undercurrent of influence, if they saw all things clearly, they would not be engaged in doing the work they have been doing. If every soul at work in the office had turned their eyes to Jesus Christ and brought their mind and their will into harmony with Christ, then all things would be different. But they would not accept the testimonies. They would not become contrite and humble their hearts to give up their own ways for God's ways. The most important period of this earth's history is now, just now, upon us. We may be assured that these words of Christ are a sure word of prophecy. When they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 44. Every man who is renewed by the grace of Christ will be conscious of his own dangers and sinfulness. The light of life shines amid the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it and is afraid and turns to the light. He sees his own sins and repents with brokenness of heart, and confessions are made that testify to the genuineness of the work. What a work might have been done at that conference that was not done, because those who heard the warnings would not humble their hearts before God. Self-examination is not only a safeguard, but a duty. The Word of God points out the defects of the human mind, and the thoughts and actions which God will not sanction. We are to look at our actions through the Word of God, that we may know whether we are in the faith, holding the beginning of our confidence in the past leadings of God, firm unto the end. Hebrews 3, verse 14. Not according to our individual choice and inclinations, but with hearts that desire to be improved and set in order, that the wrongs might be corrected. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. The Lord calls for firm, spiritual-minded, earnest workers to arouse to their duty, men who will not be deceived, and who will not turn to the right or to the left to accommodate themselves to the worldly standard. The charge to all of us who profess to be Christians is, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give the charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12-14. See also verses 15-20. There was no dearth of light at the general conference. Light was flashing all around them, but they kept their hearts locked. All needed to confess to the truth and be converted. If only the leading men had acted under a sense of their responsibility, not only for their own soul's benefit, but because self-examination is a duty due to fellow members of the human family as doing God's service. Ye are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. That word together means everything. To help Christ in doing the very same work he did upon the earth, as he stood at the head of humanity to represent to all the fallen universe and to unfallen worlds, that fallen man can, through perfect obedience to his law, receive that grace from Christ and become partakers of his divine attributes, that through his example ever followed, he will be a laborer together with his Lord. He is ever aiming to obtain the excellence of Christ, and by beholding his preciousness and his courtesy, his own Christian example is representing Christ. He makes others to apprehend him by his pleasant, gracious words of love. Because these traits of character are the representation of our Lord, our King, our Creator, our Redeemer, and the Lamb of God who taketh away our sins. In the conscious joy of being an overcomer through him who hath loved us and given himself for us, he will not stop at a glimpse of Christ, but, by beholding Christ, he is getting larger and more distinct views of his glory, and he becomes changed into his divine image from glory to glory. Not all, but many of those who claim to be children of God have become so self-centered, so selfish, so full of idolatry of self, that they are jealous, mistrustful of everyone whom they have an idea will, as they suppose, outshine them. Therefore, there is strife and bitterness, evil thinking and evil speaking, emulation and hatred. They do not consider it is their great privilege in this life to grasp the impartation of the excellencies of Christ Jesus. They have left their first love. This is the reason that the Lord cannot endure the sentiments that are being brought into the life and character of the responsible men in the Review and Herald office. Their characters are so unlike Christ, he will not work with them or ordain them as being chosen as part of his firm. Because of their wicked works, their unprincipled, underhanded workings, he declares he will spew them out of his mouth and will not take their names upon his lips. They are professedly Christians, but they destroy that sanctity and fragrance which should be expressed in the life of all who act a part in his firm. Do these workers contemplate Jesus? Is their happiness perfected in helping others to work the works of God? Are they ready to cooperate in any way they can to strengthen and advance the cause of God? No, no, no. They do not represent that they are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and washed from their sins so that the righteousness of Christ may adorn their life and characters to his praise. They show forth nothing in their good works that in words and works would represent Christ. Shall corrupted work show forth in men that know the truth, and they turn away from Christ to copy the example of the angels fallen from heaven? They have been doing this in the place of straining every nerve and muscle to help, as it is their appointed work to do, every soul that advances the work, clasping hands with them in the way of hearty cooperation, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of their faith. Christ is our model. No mortal man is to warp and twist and turn, and work and underwork, to carry out their own principles. Not one man who has figured in that office the last 2 years and lost their faith should have a second trial as leaders in that place or in any other place, unless they repent and do their first work. Christ has tried them and proved them and pronounces them unsanctified and unholy, in words, in spirit, in action. Should I bear this testimony, who will believe me? Who will receive my testimony? I do not want to lose confidence in the leading men's discernment. I have been learning of Christ for many years that all our preparatory work for Christ's coming will not be in one or two or three places, but should extend to many places, and all should become interested to save the lost sheep. But they have become lost sheep themselves. The plants are too large, the managers too small, but in power swelling into large proportions beyond their measure, too limited in talent that under the supervision of God might do far better. But they do not care to bring Christ into their work. Christ says, "I know you not." Ye say, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are we." But the sanctity of the work is depreciated through its being handled with unsanctified minds, unsanctified tongues, and corrupted precepts that have not the marks of God upon them, but strongly represent the human force. Satan is using the human instruments to fulfill his purposes. We are to disband the workers in the Review and Herald office and not place them somewhere else as has been done heretofore. God spews them out of his mouth as a disgusting morsel. When the light was given me that the state of things was of a character that Elder Jones was being spoiled through his connection with the Review and Herald office, that it would take time for him to discern of himself what was the matter, we tried to have him come away and not spoil his experience. Light was given. He should make his way to California, where he would have altogether different associations. We were to lay upon him responsibilities, watch him at every step, pray for him, counsel him, and encourage him, and in no case leave him to himself to work out his own way, for he would spoil his experience. Every reviving spiritual influence must be round about him to counterwork the experience of years. We did not place him in the responsible position because he was altogether fitted to that position, for he was far from being what he ought to be. We must watch him, have an intense interest in him, treat him kindly, and pray for him, and let Christ's molding hand be upon him. For in order to have this work done, he must separate from the Review and Herald office. As the way was marked out, we tried to follow the light given us. Every reviving spiritual influence must be given to those who associate together in the work, that fresh emanations will come from God and save our brethren from becoming infidels in reference to the past leadings of God, else their work would be useless in the cause of God. The energy and contemplation of self could be better accomplished in his being where he could work in rich lines, where the sun of righteousness would shine upon him. If he could get much of that influence purged from him that was acquired in his association with the class of managers in the Review and Herald office. The new order of workers did not return to the Lord at the General Conference, and went step by step in the wrong path. There ought to have been a general, thorough transformation. When some left for Australia, it was truly thought the best course. But it left behind, in the home field, weak forces to guide. It would have been better to retain the voices of some who went away to balance the work. During the years when many have been working from perverted principles, a mold and fashion have been given the work that God would in no way accept. The dividing of the conference was well, but some men in responsible positions acted like blind men, and the light given was that sufficient capabilities and talent were not in sight to carry the responsibilities and meet the crisis which would come in many places, especially at the heart of the work. The publishing plant was not to carry so much work, because they were not humble men who made God first and last and best in everything. There is no lack of efficiency with God or His Son, Jesus Christ, but the great deficiency was in the managing ability of the men. They swelled to large proportions in themselves, to display themselves to themselves. This is very offensive to God. God calls for humble witnesses who can hear, and hear daily, to take in the full significance of Christ's lesson in John 15, verse 1-5. Mark these words, "For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered." Verses 5, 6. how true this is, and so many times is it revealed. But how hard it is for a man who has not been transformed in character to feel that he is not a perfect whole. The commercial work gathered in was of that order that was objectionable, and the Lord would not endure the character of the work going forth. The office, like any worldly office in many respects, was not accomplishing the work the Lord designed should be done. Expensive machinery was purchased, and the commercial work was made the great object. The religious instruction that was given was counterworked by the way the work was managed.